you'd like to find your Bibles, either the ones you brought with you or the ones in your pew, and find page 1082. 1082. Following our readings, Christopher will come and preach into the readings as soon as I finish them. So we pray too for him as he comes forward. So John, reading from John chapter 14, beginning to read at verse 1. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Our second reading can be found on page 557 in the Old Testament section of your Bible. And we're reading Psalm 27, page 557. And the psalmist writes, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, 'Seek his face.' Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Though my mother and father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So please keep the Bibles open on that page, 557, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you give us the scriptures that we might know you more. And we pray that you'll do that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a home that we all need, that everybody should long for. Could it be Doncaster, the great new city? When I look around our church, not that many were born and bred here in Doncaster. Most of us are not from here. I can see some people from Nottinghamshire and from Hertfordshire. And a bit further away, people from many different countries. We have made our home here. And I wonder if you can think back to when you were a child, whether Doncaster would have been the place where you longed to be. But we made it. We've done it. Is our current home the one? Maybe some of us here think of ourselves still on a journey and we hope to move somewhere else. We may not yet know where, but somewhere else. Others of us hope that we will stay where we are in our current home until we get carried out. Maybe there are still a few things we'd like to do to our home, some things we need to fix, some decorating we need to do, something that isn't sorted yet, or maybe we cannot wait to leave where we now live. So the sermon we need to hear this morning might be about gratitude, or patience, or not being lazy. All those are good, but it's not where we're going. And just to say, even if we longed for Sheffield, what we should long for is far greater. I started with, there's a home that we all need, that everybody should long for. And actually, that's starting off on quite the wrong foot, to be thinking about ourselves. Maybe you know the Carly Simon song, or at least the refrain. I'm not very good at this. Something like, you're so vain. You probably think this song is about you, don't you, don't you? Well, this psalm is not really about us. Don't be so vain as to think this psalm is about us. This psalm might have verses that jump out and you think, yes, this is me, this is my song. I just want to live with God always. The Lord is my salvation and my light and my stronghold. But hang on, before it is anything to do with you or me, and Rosemary left these words out, look at it on the page, it says, of David. That's what it says in the first two words. Now, there are a couple of people in the church called David, and they might feel quite good about that. And I think I'd pay more attention if it said, of Christopher, the way I quite like seeing Russell Hobbs Kettles. But what if it had said, of the King? That is who it is talking about. King David, the very unlikely king who had been a shepherd, not the crown prince, but the youngest of many sons of a farmer, the one who King Saul tried to kill on numerous occasions, who eventually became king, and then whose son rebelled against him, made himself king. King David, who sinned terribly with another man's wife, who had many enemies, who made great victories in battle, and who made Jerusalem great. It's his psalm. Look down at the page with me. The editor of our Bible has split it up into four sections, with just a little gap of clear space between each one. The first section, verses 1 to 3, David telling us that he knows God as his light, his salvation, and his stronghold. Whenever evil people and enemies are against him, he is confident that God will protect him. God had certainly done many special things for him. We are not David. I don't know if you would say you had any enemies, literal people who wanted to hurt you, or worse. I don't know, maybe there was a bully at school. Maybe someone here has seen action in their country's armed forces. Well, David had true enemies at many stages in his life. He had real reason to be afraid many, many times, but he trusted God. In the second section, verses 4 to 6, David tells us that he wants to know God more. He knows he can meet with God, be at home with God. He calls the place different names: house, temple, dwelling, tabernacle, even a rock. Being at God's house is what he wants. Knowing God gives him safety and joy, the desire to sacrifice, and it gets him singing. Verse 4, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Now, just as we are not God's king, and probably nobody has tried to kill us, there's another difference for us. For King David then, there was a place where God specially dwelled, mostly called the tabernacle here, but he also uses the word temple, which the tabernacle would soon become. But it's not like that anymore. It's not like that for us. That was for then. In the third section, verses 7 to 12, David realizes that he needs God's mercy and that he deserves that God look at him with anger. But he knows that God is more faithful than anyone. And so he wants to walk in God's way even more and pleads with God to protect him from his enemies. Look at a few of the verses. End of verse 9. "Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." Verse 12, "Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes." It's Mothering Sunday today. I was a bad son. What son lives 10,000 miles away from their parents? But there is a hymn that I used to like singing one verse of particularly loudly if I was standing near my mother in church. It's from a hymn called "Hark, My Soul, It Is the Lord." And actually, poetically, it's Jesus speaking to us. It has the verse, "Can a woman's tender care cease toward the child she bare? Yes, she may forgetful be, yet will I remember thee." I'm a bit better at this kind of thing. "Can a woman's tender care cease toward the child she bare? Yes, she may forgetful be, yet will I remember thee." Well, nobody cared for David the way the Lord did, not even his parents. David had a great belief in God's grace, great trust in the Lord, and great prayer to God to protect him. And in the last section, verses 13 and 14, it's as though David gives himself a talking to. He tells himself that he will be safe. He must be strong and wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. So even David, with all his trust in God, had to keep telling himself to trust in God. Well, when I look around this morning, I see quite a few people wearing spectacles. And you have to keep getting your eyes tested and your glasses changed so that you can keep seeing well. Well, David has trust in God, but his trust in God keeps needing to be renewed. So there are some similarities with us, but we are not David. And now I think you're not going to like me, because I want us to think about the text of the Bible, because I think we have to think about the psalm in actually an entirely different way. Maybe you have sometimes noticed when you're reading the Psalms that there are extra headings that say Book 1, Book 2, etc., all the way up to Book 5. And if we turn to the beginning of the Psalms on page 543, there it is, Book 1. And it's Book 1 of the Psalter starts with two psalms that don't say of David. Then nearly all the other ones in Book 1 say of David. Psalm 1 says, "You're blessed if you delight in God and his law." Psalm 2 says things like verse 6, "I have installed my king on Zion, my holy king. He said to me, my holy hill, you are my son." So it says God installs his king in Zion and says the king is God's son and all the nations belong to him. All rulers of the world should kiss God's son and take refuge in him. The blessing of being protected by God in Psalm 1 is like the blessing of being in the son, taking refuge in him. And it's as though Book 1 of the Psalter, if we were reading all of Book 1, after these first two psalms, is saying, "I'll show you King David, but look, he isn't triumphing over all his enemies. He isn't that king who you have to kiss. He isn't that son of God. There will be a son of God who is those things, but it's not David." And though our psalm says of David, and he is someone who could sometimes be a model for us, imagine how much better when it's God's true son, the king, that he's put over the ruling of all the nations, than he's speaking. And so I want us to turn back to Psalm 27 and imagine it's Jesus speaking these words, because he can speak them more fully. So back to page 557. "The Lord Jesus truly delighted in God. He was the light of the world, light from light, true God from true God. Evil men certainly advanced against him. And the joy of the Lord Jesus was always to be in communion with God." Famously, he said about the temple there in Jerusalem that it could be torn down in 3 days and he would raise it up, because he knew the real place to meet God was in himself. He was the temple, the place of God's dwelling and joy there on earth at that time. But you might be thinking, why should the Lord Jesus ask for mercy? Why should Jesus say, "Do not turn away your servant in anger," verse 9? Because Jesus really took our sin upon him. The enemies he faced were for us, Satan and all his armies longing for him to fail. As Paul wrote, "God made him to be sin who had no sin, to be sin for us." Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7 says, "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered." The horror of the cross, of him being cut off from his father through our sins, caused him to drop tears of blood. And on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" False witnesses rose up against him, breathing out violence. Yet with all this, Jesus had an undying confidence in his resurrection. I am still confident of this, verse 13. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. As he told the disciples on numerous occasions, the Son of Man must suffer and after 3 days be raised again. That Jesus knew what would happen did not take away at all from the horror and the pain and the suffering. Jesus preaches to himself all through his life, and no doubt particularly in the final days towards the cross, these last verses, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. We do not really know what Jesus was doing in the time between his crucifixion and his resurrection, but no doubt even then, as he was harrowing hell, he was saying, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. This suffering will pass. This time will be over. I will live with my Father again forever. My people will meet with God as their Father through me. And brothers and sisters, unless God opens our eyes to Jesus, we cannot have his light and salvation. We're not the savior of the world, we're not the light of the world or the stronghold of the world, but we can be joined to him who is. The psalm can be our psalm if we are joined to the Lord Jesus. Whether we are in Abuja, or Karachi, or Sydney, or Doncaster, wherever, we can be at home with the Lord. He knows our sin. He knows our unworthiness. And he went through the weakness of humanity and the agony and punishment of the cross that we might see the goodness of the Lord in new life forever with him. It's not our psalm, but it's more than King David's psalm. It's the Lord Jesus' psalm, and he wants to give it to us. So the psalm says, I think, to us at least two things. First, trust in the Son of David, the King, the Lord Jesus. Jesus' work was to bring a people with him to be at home with God the Father forever. And Jesus wants to be our light and our salvation and our stronghold. There might be many troubles yet for us in this life. If we are in Jesus by trusting him, not thinking God will love us because we are good people, but because Jesus has rescued us, then whom shall we fear? We won't fear darkness because light destroys it. We won't fear hell because the Lord is our salvation. We won't rest on our strength, but our weakness and his strength. So trust him today, for the first time or the 10,000th time. Lord Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for dying for my sins. I trust in you. Come into my life by your Holy Spirit. And secondly, we will seek to dwell in the house of the Lord, which doesn't mean we won't be leaving the church building this morning. The house of the Lord for us is not a literal building, but the Lord Jesus. We will want to dwell with him all our days, like a child waiting for its parents, like a student waiting for the teacher, like a traveler waiting for directions. Lord Jesus, which way do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to be? Lord Jesus, let me share in your troubles. Lord Jesus, let me learn your confidence in the Father. Lord Jesus, make my desire for you, not what you can give me in this life. Lord Jesus, let me wait for you, for my final rescue forever. The home we all need, the Lord Jesus, is he who we long for. Let us pray. Lighten our darkness, we beseech you, O Lord, and defend us from all perils and dangers of this life, for your name's sake. Amen.